Good evening. This is Akashwani and I am Nishit Kumar with the news at 9. The headlines. Prime Minister Narendra Modi asserts festivals like Pongal strengthen spirit of Ek Bharat Shreshth Bharat, stresses Tamil culture a shared heritage of the entire nation and humanity at large. New Delhi asks Indian nationals to leave Iran immediately amid rapidly evolving security situation and continuing unrest in the West Asian country. Government says it is committed to Aravalli Range conservation and stop illegal mining. Calcutta High Court disposes of Trinamool Congress's plea against Enforcement Directorate over IPAC raids. 29 Maoists surrendered in Sukma district of Chhattisgarh. And in men's cricket, hosts India set a target of 285 runs against New Zealand in the second ODI in Rajkot. And now the news in detail. Prime Minister Narendra Modi today emphasized that harvest festivals like Pongal strengthen the spirit of Ek Bharat Shreshth Bharat. Mr. Modi was speaking after participating in the celebrations of the harvest festival Pongal, organized at the residence of Union Minister of State for Information and Broadcasting Dr. L. Murugan in New Delhi today. He said Pongal celebrates the vibrant Tamil culture and bond with nature. He asserted that Tamil culture is a shared heritage of the entire nation and humanity at large.
हमारी तमिल संस्कृति पूरे भारत की साझी विरासत है इतना ही नहीं पूरी मानवता की ये साझी विरासत है मैं एक भारत श्रेष्ठ भारत की जिस भावना की बात करता हूं उसे पोंगल जैसे पर्व और सशक्त बनाते हैं साथियों दुनिया की लगभग सभी सभ्यताओं में फसलों से जुड़ा कोई न कोई उत्सव मनाया जाता है तमिल संस्कृति में किसान को जीवन का आधार माना गया है
The Prime Minister highlighted that Pongal, which gave the message of maintaining harmonious balance with nature, has emerged as a global festival cherished by Tamil community the world over. He said the festival celebrates the hard work of country's farmers. Prime Minister Modi has said farmers are strong partners in nation building and that their efforts are greatly strengthening the campaign of a self-reliant India. He stated that the centre is committed to empowering farmers and is working tirelessly in this direction. He stated that the government is continuously working to make agriculture more sustainable and environment friendly.
ये धरती हमें इतना कुछ देती है उसे संजोने का दायित्व भी हमारा है अगली पीढ़ी के लिए मिट्टी को स्वस्थ रखना पानी को बचाना और संसाधनों का संतुलित उपयोग करना सबसे जरूरी है मिशन लाइफ एक पेड़ माँ के नाम अमृत सरोवर जैसे हमारा अभियान इसी भावना को आगे बढ़ाते हैं
Vice President C.P. Radhakrishnan and several union ministers, including Jagat Prakash Nadda, G. Kishan Reddy and Ram Mohan Naidu, also attended Pongal celebrations at Dr. L. Murugan's residence. The festivals of Makar Sankranti, Pongal, Bihu and Uttarayan, marking the harvest season, are being celebrated with great fervour across the country today. Observed under different names and customs in different regions of the country, these festivals herald the change of season, the sun's northward journey and the harvest of crops nurtured through months of dedication and hard work. President, Vice President and Prime Minister have greeted fellow countrymen on the auspicious occasion. India has advised all its nationals to leave Iran by available means of transport, including commercial flights, amid escalating protests in the West Asian country and a rapidly evolving security situation. The advisory applies to students, pilgrims, business persons, tourists and other Indian citizens present in Iran. Meanwhile, External Affairs Ministry has once again strongly advised Indian nationals to avoid travel to Iran until further notice. In an earlier advisory, the ministry had urged Indian nationals to avoid non-essential travel to the West Asian country. We have more from our correspondent.
The Ministry of External Affairs, in its advisory, had asked Indian citizens and persons of Indian origin, PIOs, residing in Iran, to exercise due caution and avoid visiting areas of protests. MEA said Indian nationals living in Iran on resident visas are advised to register with the Indian embassy if not already done so. The emergency contact helplines of the Indian embassy in Tehran are +9891 2810915, +9891 2810909, +9891 2810902, and +9899321793359. The embassy can also be reached through email at cons.tehran@mea.gov.in. There are approximately 10,000 Indians in Iran, including many students. Iran is also visited every year by thousands of Shia pilgrims from different parts of India. Anupam Mishra, Akashvani News, Delhi.
In Iran, human rights groups are reporting that the death toll in security crackdown on nationwide anti-government protests has crossed 2,600. Several Iranians reportedly crossed the border into Turkey amid the crackdown. U.S. President Donald Trump has said help is on its way and added that the United States would take very strong action if protesters were put to death. On the other hand, Iran has warned neighboring countries hosting U.S. troops that it will retaliate against American bases if Washington carries out threats to intervene in protests in the country. Quoting three diplomats, a news agency reported that the United States is withdrawing some personnel from bases in West Asia. Prime Minister Narendra Modi has said that the new Amrit Bharat trains mark a significant step in improving passenger comfort and connectivity. Sharing the social media post of Minister for Railways Ashwini Vaishnaw regarding flagging off of 9 new Amrit Bharat Express trains, Mr. Modi said other benefits including boosting commerce and tourism. Minister for Railways Ashwini Vaishnaw yesterday had announced that 9 new Amrit Bharat Express trains will be flagged off soon. Defence Minister Rajnath Singh today said veterans of the armed forces are the living pillars of national consciousness, symbols of collective courage and sources of inspiration for future generations. The minister was addressing the Armed Forces Veterans Day in New Delhi.
Today, we all can see that across every corner of the country, our veterans are playing leading roles in various fields. Some veterans are working in the field of education, especially in military schools, shaping the younger generation. Some are contributing in the field of agriculture by using new technologies to increase farmers' income. Other veterans are using their experience in disaster management, contributing to relief and rescue operations during natural disasters such as floods and earthquakes.
The Department of Financial Services today launched the Paripurna Mediclaim Ayush Bima for Central Government Health Scheme CGHS beneficiaries. This insurance policy offers cashless facilities, modern treatments and access to a wide network of hospitals. The Finance Ministry said that the policy is exclusively available to CGHS beneficiaries with a maximum of 6 members per policy. It provides indemnity-based inpatient hospitalization coverage within India with some insured options of 10 lakh or 20 lakh rupees. This optional health insurance plan will be available as a retail product for all CGHS beneficiaries with no GST to ensure maximum affordability. This is Akashwani giving you the news. For quick news updates around the clock, follow us on our X handle at AIR News Alerts. And for details of these stories and more, log on to our website newsonair.gov.in and download the News on AIR app. Welcome back to the News at 9. Environment, Forest and Climate Change Minister Bhupendra Yadav today reaffirmed the government's unwavering commitment to ecological conservation of the Aravalli Range. He said that nearly 97 kilometers of Aravalli revenue land has been declared a permanent protected forest to prevent encroachment and illegal mining. Speaking at the National Conference on Eco-Restoration of the Aravalli Landscape in New Delhi, he highlighted Prime Minister Narendra Modi's mission to restore 26 million hectares of degraded land across the country. The minister also informed that under the Aravalli Green Wall Project, 6,45,000 hectares of degraded land have been identified, with 2,70,000 hectares being restored across Gujarat, Rajasthan, Haryana and Delhi.
In the coming times, we will have to pursue development while giving full attention to ecology. I would like to inform you that the DPR we prepared for the Green Aravalli project is being actively taken forward, and over the past 2-3 years, we have successfully restored nearly thousands of hectares of land. We want the work of its conservation to further enhance and to continue it uninterrupted.
The Calcutta High Court today disposed of the petition filed by the Trinamool Congress seeking preservation of confidential political data allegedly seized by the Enforcement Directorate ED during its raid at the offices and residence of political consultancy firm IPAC Chief Prateek Jain in Kolkata last week. The ED informed the court that no documents or data had been taken from the IPAC's premises. Following this submission, Justice Shubhra Ghosh dismissed the plea filed by the Trinamool Congress. Meanwhile, the ED has also approached the Supreme Court with similar demands, including a request for a CBI investigation. In view of this, Justice Ghosh adjourned the ED's petition in the Calcutta High Court, ordering that proceedings remain suspended until the Supreme Court delivers its ruling. In Chhattisgarh, 29 Maoists surrendered before the police in Sukma district today. One of the surrendered Maoists was carrying a reward of 2 lakh rupees. Superintendent of Police Kiran Chavda said the surrendered Maoists will be provided an incentive of 50,000 rupees each under the state government's rehabilitation policy along with other facilities. Petroleum and Natural Gas Minister Hardeep Singh Puri today said that India has achieved a milestone towards energy self-sufficiency. In a social media post, Mr. Puri informed that Urja Bharat PTE Limited, a joint venture between Indian Oil and Bharat Petro Resources Limited, has successfully discovered light crude oil in Abu Dhabi's onshore Block 1. Mr. Puri highlighted that such international partnerships will further strengthen India's energy security. Foreign Secretary Vikram Misri today met Vice Minister of the International Department of the Central Committee of Communist Party of China, Sun Haiyan, in New Delhi. In a statement, the Ministry of External Affairs said that they both discussed the progress made in stabilizing and rebuilding bilateral ties with priority on business and people-centric engagements and ways to take bilateral engagement forward in the new year. Prime Minister Narendra Modi will inaugurate the 28th Conference of Speakers and Presiding Officers of the Commonwealth in New Delhi tomorrow. Lok Sabha Speaker Om Birla will chair the conference. 61 speakers and presiding officers of 42 Commonwealth countries and 4 semi-autonomous parliaments will attend the conference. Prime Minister Narendra Modi will address the National Startup Day 2026 at Bharat Mandapam in New Delhi on Friday. Briefing media in New Delhi this afternoon, Secretary DPIIT Amardeep Singh Bhatia said it is a very special day for everyone connected to the startup ecosystem. The Indian naval sailing vessel Kondinya INSV has arrived at Port Sultan Qaboos in Muscat, Oman today after successfully completing its maiden voyage from Gujarat. This indigenously built traditional stitch sailing vessel INSV Kondinya commenced its maiden overseas voyage from Porbandar, Gujarat on the 29th of December last year. In Thailand, 32 people lost their lives and 65 others were injured when a construction crane fell on top of a moving train carriage this morning. The train was heading towards Ubon Ratchathani province in the northeastern region of the country from Bangkok. And in men's cricket, hosts India have set a target of 285 runs against New Zealand in the second ODI of the three-match series in Rajkot. Earlier put into bat, India posted 284 runs for the loss of 7 wickets in stipulated 50 overs. For the hosts, KL Rahul scored the highest 112 runs not out of 92 balls. In reply, New Zealand with 255 for 3 in 44.3 overs when reports last came in. Earlier, the visitors won the toss and opted to field first. Indian team is currently leading the series 1-0 after winning the first ODI by 4 wickets at Vadodara on Sunday. And in the India Open badminton, former world number one Kidambi Srikant advanced to the pre-quarterfinals after securing a hard-fought victory over compatriot Tarun Manipalli in the round of 32 in men's singles. H.S. Pranoy also defeated Lee Siuk Yu of Hong Kong in his opening round clash. In the women's singles, former world champion P.V. Sindhu lost to Thuy Linh Nguyen of Vietnam in a round of 64 match. And now before we end the bulletin, the headlines once again. Prime Minister Narendra Modi asserts festivals like Pongal strengthen spirit of Ek Bharat, Shreshth Bharat, stresses Tamil culture, a shared heritage of the entire nation and humanity at large. New Delhi asks Indian nationals to leave Iran immediately amid rapidly evolving security situation and continuing unrest in the West Asian country. Government says it is committed to Aravali Range conservation and stop illegal mining. Calcutta High Court disposes of Trinamool Congress's plea against Enforcement Directorate over IPAC raids. 29 Maoists surrender in Sukma district of Chhattisgarh. And in men's cricket, hosts India set a target of 285 runs against New Zealand in the second ODI in Rajkot. And that's all in the news at 9. Good night.